Heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you to not only defend the historic Christian faith, but become an apprentice of Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to our website at equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and welcome to another edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast as we take you through Matthew's Gospel. We're now just about finished with the second chapter, which entails about two-thirds of Christ's famous Sermon on the Mount, in which he said that we are not to store up treasures on earth where moth and rust corrupt and where thieves break in and steal, but rather we are to store up treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt and where thieves do not break in and steal, for where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. And then Jesus went on to say this, The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? And then the epic words that we talked about in the last broadcast, where Jesus says, no one can serve two masters. Either he will love the one and hate the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. You have to make your choice. And the beautiful thing is that if you choose to serve God rather than money, then all these things will be added to you as well. So for the Christian, the point is we must put our priorities in the right place. Well, in this broadcast, we're going to talk about worry, because this is the next subject that our Lord addresses, where he says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food? And the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than these? Which of you by worrying can add a single solitary hour to your life? And then why do you worry about clothes? Look at the flowers of the field. See how they grow. I tell you the truth. Not even Solomon, dressed in all of his regalia, was dressed like one of these. And if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and then tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, oh, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after all of those things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And by the way, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So again, Christ here is addressing the subject of worry. Jesus is assuming that his disciples are going to worry, that they're going to worry about earthly and bodily needs. And that when they do, those very worries will turn their hearts away from their Heavenly Father, the one who supplies all things precisely as we need them. The question is, will He who gave us our lives fail to give us that which is necessary to sustain those lives? And that is, in essence, a rhetorical question. The answer is, of course not. If He gives you your life, as He does, He will give you what is necessary to sustain those lives. And so Jesus provides a very simple illustration. He tells us to look at the birds of the air. They don't sow, they don't reap, they don't store away in barns, and yet, says Jesus, your Heavenly Father feeds them. And then the question, are you not much more valuable than they? So Jesus is making a lesser to a greater argument. He's saying, God, who creates the birds, takes care of the birds, feeds the birds, and He also creates you as an icon, creates you to become God-like. And if God is going to take care of a bird, isn't He going to take care of you as well? The question that we have to ask is this: what in the world can worry achieve? Worry achieves absolutely nothing whatsoever. And Jesus makes this plain when He says, who of you by worrying can add a single solitary hour to his life? Worry does not add to life. Worry inexorably shortens our lives. And I can tell you, I've spent a great deal of time worrying. I think about the ministry that I have presided over for 30, 35 years. So often we have operated on the razor's edge, and I have worried, is God going to supply the needs of this ministry? And I think back to all the times that I worried before and found out that that worry was unnecessary. And yet I worried again. In other words, Jesus is addressing a subject that we need to address in our lives over and over again, not from the sense of anxiety and fear, but rather from the perspective of faith. So Jesus also is wondering about clothes and wondering why we worry about what we're going to wear, particularly in light of the lilies of the field. The lilies of the field, they do not labor or spin, and yet, says Jesus, not even Solomon, who was regaled with wisdom and wealth and splendor, not even Solomon, in all of that pomp and ceremony, was dressed like a lily of the field, was dressed like plain old grass. And if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and then tomorrow is thrown into the fire, Jesus says, how much more will He clothe you, O you of little faith? Again, this is a classic example of a lesser to a greater argument. If God clothes the grass of the field, surely He will provide common clothes to the children He loves. This ought to be self-evident. And Christ communicates this in such a way that we sort of smack ourselves in the head and say, of course God will supply my every need. Our trust in God ought to dispel every worry, worry which in essence is evidence of a lack of faith. When I come back from the break, I want to address a question. And that question is, what constitutes a lack of faith? In other words, what is faith? And in answering that question, I'm going to take you right to what the Bible tells us about maybe the oldest of the patriarchs, the patriarch Job. We'll be right back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions are answered right here at the Christian Research Institute. You can send them in. You can text them. We're here to answer questions and demonstrate that the Christian faith stands up to scrutiny. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Just as the value of vaccines increases during the outbreak of a deadly disease, when assaults on our faith and freedoms mount, the outreaches of CRI become even more critical. That in turn makes believers like you, those who are willing to stand up and speak up, all the more crucial. Very simply, there is nothing, I repeat, nothing that CRI does that would be possible without partners like you. Stand with Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute during the key month of June to ensure that we end the financial year in a position of strength. To make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. God bless you. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after this.
Many intellectuals insist that science and belief in God are at war. In Return of the God Hypothesis, Stephen Meyer argues that theism, with its affirmation of a transcendent, intelligent, and active creator, best explains the evidence we have concerning biological and cosmological origins. Previously, Meyer refrained from attempting to answer questions about who might have designed life. Now he provides an evidence-based answer to the ultimate mystery of the universe. The results? Meyer reveals a stunning conclusion. The data support not just the existence of an intelligent designer of some kind, but the existence of a personal God. To receive your copy of Return of the God Hypothesis, Three Scientific Discoveries That Reveal the Mind Behind the Universe, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org.
Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal, just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.
Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We are addressing today the issue of worry because this is precisely what Jesus addresses in the last part of Matthew chapter 6. And Jesus is pointing out, as I said just before we went to break, that those who worry lack faith. And that, of course, raises a question. What constitutes a lack of faith? And as I said, whenever I think about this subject, I think about Job. Job, who experienced the ultimate test of faith. In the span of just a few hours, think about it. His servants were slaughtered. His possessions were stolen. His children perished in a collapsing house. And that was just the beginning of sorrows. Within days, his body was covered from top to bottom. He had painful sores from the soles of his feet to the top of his head. And then, his wife turned against him. She said, "Curse God and die." On top of that, his friends attacked him. They had these insufferable speeches like, "Surely God does not reject a blameless man." And through those speeches, they taunted him. What Job did not know is that he was the subject of an extreme test of faith. God affirmed Job's faith as being firm and faultless. Satan assailed Job's faith as fickle and fleeting. He said, "Stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and then, Job, will surely God curse you to your face." So in this cosmic context, you have a contest. Job, in the contest, responds with remarkable resolve. You can imagine that emotionally, he was on a roller coaster. His mind was desperately searching for answers. And yet, in the end, he personified extreme faith because he took his fate and fortune and he placed that on the trustworthiness of God. His eternal perspective forever enshrined in words that are inherently memorable. "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. I won't worry." With the shield of faith in hand, Job was enabled to stand strong and steadfast against persecutions and temptations and even against the blasphemous thoughts that Satan kept whispering into his ears. Well, when all was said and done, the sinister serpent was able to scorch Job's shield of faith, but unable to sear his soul. Little wonder then that in addition to truth and righteousness and peace, Paul urges us in Ephesians chapter 6, to take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, including the arrow of worry. If you think about the ancient shield of an ancient soldier, that shield enveloped the body. And in a similar fashion, faith envelops the entirety of our being. So when Satan attacks our heads, the hand of faith holds fast to truth. When Satan attacks our hearts, the hand of faith holds fast to righteousness. Faith is ultimately rooted and grounded in the very nature of God Himself. And nothing is more crucial to the Christian faith than a proper understanding of who God is. In Christian theology, God is portrayed as the sovereign of the universe. He's described as spirit, as perfectly wise, self-sufficient, omnipotent, omniscient. The Bible depicts Him as the one who sees all and knows all from all eternity, as the one who wields supreme and absolute authority. And therefore, in biblical vernacular, faith is a channel of living trust, an assurance that stretches from a human being to their God. In other words, it is the object of faith that renders faith faithful, and God is the object of our faith. And the greatest demonstration of faith is always in trusting God, even when we do not understand. It's the sort of confidence that was exemplified by our hero Job as he persevered in the midst of affliction, trusting God despite a whirlwind that threatened to blow his life into oblivion. And likewise, it is the trait most demonstrated in the life of the Apostle Paul, who not only fought the good fight, but also finished the race and kept the faith. His faith, like that of Job, was not fixed on temporary circumstances, but on the trustworthiness of his Creator. I love Hebrews chapter 11. It's the faith hall of fame, a hall filled with men and women who trusted God even when they did not understand. You probably know the list: Gideon and Barak, Samson and Jephthah, David and Samuel, the prophets, collectively, those through faith who conquered kingdoms, who despite being tortured and jeered and flogged, chained, put in prison, stoned, put to death, destitute, persecuted, mistreated, yet they were commended for their faith because their faith was fixed on God. Faith is of paramount importance because it is the grace with which you can extinguish, as St. Paul says, all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And that's not an uncertain promise. Rather, it is divine assurance that faith equips you and I to escape the very extremities of evil. This is how St. John puts it. He says, "This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith." The world fuels an unholy trinity, the cravings of our sinful nature, the lust of our eyes, the boasting of what we have and what we can do. The shield of faith, however, extinguishes the flames. Faith focuses on the permanent pleasures of paradise rather than the pseudo-pleasures of the present world. It binds the unclean eye that lusts after pornography and wealth. And it deadens the pride of life that covets praise from men far more than praise from God. The eye of faith looks at life with eternity in mind. It looks back to our hero Job, who blazed a trail of faith for all of us to follow. And it looks forward as well to the promise of eternity when temptations will be no more. So says Jesus, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all of these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them. Instead, we are to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to us as well. Jesus ends this segment of the Sermon on Worry by saying, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Why? Because tomorrow can worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So again, we are not to worry. Worry is a demonstration of a lack of faith. Well, we are going to continue next time. We're in Matthew's Gospel with the last chapter, chapter 7. You may want to take some time to read it on your own. Maybe even do more than read it. Read and reread it. Ponder it. Maybe even memorize it. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
Thank you for joining us today. June is one of the most important months for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. That's because we close out another financial year, and we can do so successfully only if listening friends like you stand with us prayerfully and financially. With your gift, you'll help CRI impact even more lives with God's truth. Please call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
Many intellectuals insist that science and belief in God are at war. In Return of the God Hypothesis, Stephen Meyer argues that theism, with its affirmation of a transcendent, intelligent, and active creator, best explains the evidence we have concerning biological and cosmological origins. Previously, Meyer refrained from attempting to answer questions about who might have designed life. Now he provides an evidence-based answer to the ultimate mystery of the universe. The results? Meyer reveals a stunning conclusion. The data support not just the existence of an intelligent designer of some kind, but the existence of a personal God. To receive your copy of Return of the God Hypothesis, Three Scientific Discoveries That Reveal the Mind Behind the Universe, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org.